I think that all materialism collapses into illusionism, the idea that phenomenal consciousness, the what it's like of experience, is an illusion. If you're a materialist, you think that fundamental reality is essentially non-mental, and you think consciousness, or the illusion of consciousness, emerged from this non-experiential stuff. Some materialists think consciousness emerges weakly, in the same sense that biology and tables and whirlpools emerge. Biology emerges out of chemistry. Liquidity emerges from molecules which are not themselves liquid. Tables emerge from matter which is not tables. However, this cannot be the case for phenomenal consciousness. The only way out of this is to say it's not really like something to be. It only seems like it is. Phenomenal consciousness would be too much of a radical departure from the way things were progressing. If consciousness emerged at all, it must have been an instance of strong emergence.
What are you doing?
Levels.
Levels?
Yeah, I'm getting rid of all my furniture. All of it. And I'm going to build these different levels. You know, with steps.
If one believes that the emergence of consciousness was an instance of strong emergence, then that person is not really a materialist anymore. One would be best described as a dualist, be they a property dualist, naturalistic dualist, or some other sort of dualist. Strongly emergent properties are not identical to, reducible to, or deducible from other properties. On materialism, there are no giant leaps in nature that could be characterized as strong emergence. Taking such a position would make one a dualist of some sort, even if they're also a naturalist.
So our first question comes from Emerson Green from the US. Hi, David. My question has to do with strong versus weak emergence. If consciousness emerged, would it have to be an instance of strong emergence? Is it even conceivable that the what it's like of experience could have been an instance of weak emergence? Thanks in advance.
Yeah, so emergence is one of these words that people use in very different ways. The way philosophers often use it is emergence is something kind of magical. You put things together and you get something totally different and in principle, unpredictable coming out of it. That's strong emergence. For physicists and computer scientists, that means something much more deflationary. Just put together enough stuff in a complicated way, you get complicated patterns arising from them, which are maybe somewhat surprising, but still predictable in principle. That's weak emergence. I think weak emergence is absolutely ubiquitous in the sciences and is very much amenable to a reductionist treatment. But consciousness is not like that. I think the kinds of things that lead people to say there's a hard problem of consciousness are precisely the kinds of things that suggest that it's not just going to be a weakly emergent phenomenon.
If you insist that the emergence of consciousness was a case of weak emergence, the logical result is eliminativism. So just to be clear, you can say that the emergence of consciousness was a case of weak emergence, if you're willing to give up the reality of phenomenal consciousness. Weak emergence, the only kind of emergence on materialism, is a viable option if and only if you are an illusionist. Illusionism is the logical outcome of materialism. The common idea that experience emerges just as liquidity or metabolism emerges is an implicit endorsement of eliminativism about phenomenal consciousness. When you say that a chair is just made of atoms, you're basically saying that, look, the chair is just an illusion. It's just atoms arranged chair-wise. There's a lot more ontological weight to phenomenal consciousness than there is with a chair. But anyone who says that consciousness emerged in the same way that biology emerged, what has been called weak emergence, they are also implicitly saying that phenomenal consciousness is only as real as a chair. But for me, that just doesn't hold water. The emergence of a chair, for one, is vague. The moment that the chair comes into existence is not precise. There are edge cases. But there are no edge cases with phenomenal consciousness. It's either there or it's not. It's either like something to be or it's not like anything to be. There is no edge case. So is something weakly emergent like a chair? There are edge cases. It's vague as to when it comes into existence. The second disanalogy lies in crossing the gap from objective to subjective. To quote Thomas Nagel, no description or analysis of the objective nervous system, however complete, will ever by itself imply anything which is not objective. End quote. The emergence of a chair or liquid water or biology can be described in purely structural, behavioral, dispositional, third-personal terms. You go from one type of objective description to another type of objective description. You never cross the divide between objective and subjective. No matter how much objective description you pile onto it, you're never going to get a subjective description. That would be like putting enough abstract descriptions together and then eventually getting something concrete. To quote philosopher Peter Sjursted, it's easy to say that mind emerges from certain neurological activities in the brain, but substantiating what this word emerges actually means and implies in such statements is far from easy. That a whirlpool emerges from water, or that water emerges from H2O molecules, are examples of emergence that can be observed and explained using structural, in other words, primarily spatiotemporal, language. But that the patterned movement of particles in a brain makes emerge mental states that cannot be observed or described in structural spatiotemporal terms is a claim that's not scientific. It's not directly observable. It is not quantifiable. And there is no known transordinal nomology, no bridge laws that would explain the matter-mind emergence, laws that would have to cover more than the human species. One cannot zoom into an emotion to observe that from which it emerged, as one can zoom into a whirlpool or into water. Thus, applying the emergence observed in nature to explain the mind is a disanalogy, a category mistake. We cannot simply infer that as chemistry emerges from physics, and as biology emerges from chemistry, so sentience emerges from biology. There are no known laws of nature that can render explicable the emergence of emotion from motion, of sentience from insentience. End quote. Emergentists are also stuck with epiphenomenalism, because emergentism can't accommodate mental causation. If you want mental events like pain or pleasure or desire or beliefs to have an effect upon the world, you need to explain how those things can push around atoms, which doesn't seem very likely if you want to be a physicalist. I just say those things are identical with matter. Just one is the view from the outside and one is the view from the inside. Perhaps you're a materialist who's sympathetic to Mysterianism. You believe that we cannot understand the emergence of consciousness, either because of our human limitations, or even because it's unintelligible in principle. Not everyone who believes this calls themselves a Mysterian, but there are many philosophers who say that we don't need to explain how mind and matter fit together, for one reason or another. It's a doomed effort on their account. The way they solve the hard problem is just by saying, well, look, we don't have to make this stuff fit together intelligibly. And to be clear, I'm using Mysterianism here in a much broader sense than usual. But that strain of giving up, and any strain of Mysterianism, seems to be a violation of the spirit of materialism, if not the letter. Materialists purport to explain consciousness rationally. If it's all ordinary matter obeying the laws of physics, why shouldn't we be able to get a story that makes any sense? The emergence of experience shouldn't be any more difficult or easy to understand than the emergence of metabolism. To endorse Mysterianism is to reject the materialist idea that consciousness emerged just like tables, biology, or liquid water. And this is what bothers me so much about a lot of people who try to explain consciousness. They'll just point to something like a chair and explain how that emerges and then just dust off their hands and be like, yep, I've explained consciousness. No, you haven't. You know, you can't just appeal to an unrelated example of successful reduction and say, yeah, consciousness is just like that. Since the Mysterian move is not available to a champion of materialism, and strong emergence is incompatible with materialism, and the emergence of phenomenal consciousness couldn't have been an instance of weak emergence, the only option left to the materialist is eliminativism about consciousness. Phenomenal consciousness must be illusory. If you accept monism, realism about phenomenal consciousness, and you reject strong emergence, then that seems to lead to panpsychism. You gotta either reject monism and become a dualist, reject realism and become an illusionist, or reject the anti-emergence premise and become some kind of dualist. Like I said, illusionism, panpsychism, or dualism. And look, you want to be an illusionist, fine. I'm just saying if you flesh out your views, you're not going to be able to remain a materialist and a realist about phenomenal consciousness. Materialism cannot explain phenomenal consciousness. It can explain away phenomenal consciousness. It can explain phenomenal consciousness if you're willing to give it up as an illusion. But that's it. So let's say that you think phenomenal consciousness is real. You don't think that that's a philosopher's fiction or an illusion of any sort. In fact, you think it's the only thing you know to exist with certainty. To quote Thomas Nagel, the fact that an organism has conscious experience at all means basically that there is something that it is like to be. An organism has conscious mental states only if there is something that it is like to be that organism. End quote. Either consciousness emerged or it didn't. On the didn't emerge side, we have two options: panpsychism or idealism in some form, or illusionism. On the emerged side, we only have two options: strong or weak emergence. Strong emergence, I think, leads to dualism of some kind. I also have other problems with it. But if you're saying that there is this giant leap in nature, where this real thing, this concretely real part of nature, sprang into existence, and it wasn't there before in any sense, and then poof, it was there. Like I said, I think that has other problems, but you're not a materialist anymore, you're a dualist. Whether you want to say that that stuff is a property or a substance or whatever, it's clearly not the same type of emergence as biology emerging from chemistry. Phenomenal consciousness is more real than something like liquidity, or a chair, or biology. These are all just ways of talking about the same stuff that's always been there. Phenomenal consciousness isn't like that. It's not just a different way of talking about the stuff that's always been there. There's something new that's concretely real. It's not something abstract, it's not just a way of talking about. I mean, consciousness is a way of talking about, but it's not just that. If you endorse strong emergence, you're a dualist. If you reject it, you're either an illusionist or a panpsychist. Oh, but what about non-reductive physicalism? Non-reductive physicalism is an untenable position. At first, it seems like it's a nice middle way between reductive physicalism and some kind of property dualism. But if you press on it, you'll realize that you're either a property dualist or you're just a reductive materialist. Non-reductive physicalism either collapses into dualism or it collapses into reductive physicalism. If you're saying that phenomenal consciousness is real and irreducible and it emerged, then you're some kind of dualist. One should easily grant that both Mysterianism and strong emergence are incompatible with materialism. I would think the most controversial point would be that the emergence of phenomenal consciousness couldn't have been an instance of weak emergence. But I think once one appreciates the argument from vagueness and the impassable divide between objective and subjective, they'll see that strong emergence, illusionism, and panpsychism in some form are the only three paths. Strong emergence, illusionism, panpsychism. Pick your poison. I have a bias against strong emergence. I have a similarly strong bias against illusionism. But my point here is that all forms of materialism terminate in illusionism. All other forms of materialism either rely on a form of weak emergence that can't explain phenomenal consciousness if it's real, or an endorsement of strong emergence that would amount to dualism, or waving a Mysterian white flag which controverts an essential part of materialism. Non-reductive physicalism is incoherent, it collapses into dualism or reductive materialism. You're gonna have to bite a bullet here. And the point of this episode isn't to say that illusionism is definitely wrong. The point is that if you want to be a materialist, you're gonna have to be an illusionist. If you say that consciousness emerged weakly, the logical result of that is eliminativism. Really, the only way out of it is to just not think about it too much. If you want to say that consciousness is just a way of talking about the world, just like biology or chairs, the logical result of that is eliminativism. So again, the point isn't that eliminative materialism about phenomenal consciousness is definitely wrong, even though it is. The point is that all materialism collapses into illusionism. Thank you for listening. I've been Emerson Green, and I'll talk to you next time.